Broadcasting from behind the Second Amendment Iron Curtain in the shadows of the New York City skyline, this is Gun for Hire Radio, the voice of 1 million New Jersey gun owners, with your hosts, Sandy Berardi and Master Firearms Trainer, Anthony Calandra.
The weekly gathering place for over 1 million freedom-loving gun owners. The most listened to Second Amendment broadcast in the nation. Welcome to it.
I don't think I'm going to talk today.
Okay.
We have a special guest in the house.
We do.
He's been on before.
Yes.
He spoke at last year's SafeCon.
Yes, he did.
And he will be speaking at this year's SafeCon, and he will be telling you more about that when he gets on the show. But I'm going to give you a small introduction. It's Dr. Gianni Parelli, Ph.D., he's a licensed psychologist, licensed in New York and New Jersey. He has an office in Verona, an office in Morristown. He does comprehensive psychological firearm evaluations focused on firearms and specific legal prohibitors, such as mental health, substance, domestic violence, and legal histories. He also does assessment,
what a legal prohibitor was.
Assessment of violence and suicide risk, designed to be directly applied to state-specific legal standards, okay? And he's an expert in a billion different things, and he's going to be, he's in the process of writing a book. So without further ado,
if you're an expert in a billion different things, that's going to be one thick-ass book.
Yes. Without further ado, website is gparelli.com. I would like to introduce Dr. Gianni Parelli.
Hello. Thank you for having me in again. I think it's my third time.
Most people don't thank us for this.
Like, I feel like Henry Hill on the Howard Stern show or something.
You know what, Doc? The problem is, in the firearms community, we can pretty much count on one hand how many people are out there doing what you're doing that are receptive to the issues related to firearms in the state of New Jersey. Not saying that you're listen, by giving him that ringing endorsement, I'm not saying if you have a problem, go to Parelli and he's going to give you a note. It doesn't work that way. I've referred people to Parelli, and I don't know what the outcome is on it, but if you're truly nuts like my co-host Sandy, he's probably not going to write the paper.
He still refuses to give me the note.
So, Doc, say hi to everybody, and let's talk a little bit.
Hi, everybody. Yeah, so that's basically what I ran into, which is when I first started breaking into this area a few years ago, everybody was kind of talking about quote-unquote gun violence, you know, the professional.
Well, guns are violent,
but nobody was talking about civilians,
The people pulling the trigger, you mean, on the gun?
So I said, what's going on here, and so we started writing about it and talking about it, and you guys have been really gracious and it's been developing. Our practice is growing, and let's talk about it.
Let me tell you something. Again, nobody is out there doing what you do, and we need that. We need a voice of reason. You know, you're probably going to end up testifying in Trenton next year if we, God forbid, get Phil Murphy for governor. By the way, next week we have slated Betty Lou DiCroce from Morris County, Assemblywoman, state assemblywoman. She wants to be on the show. We have politicians asking to be on the show now. Steve Rogers, gubernatorial candidate, was on the show. He's welcome again to be on the show. We've invited Kim Godano, and Jack Cittarelli is also coming on the show the week after. Rulo, Hirsch Singh, anybody wants to come on the show, you're more than welcome to come on. But there people have been reaching out to us because of our far and wide reach in the 2A community, and I really appreciate that. So we've had a couple of politicians on. Most of them don't have the seeds to come on because I'm brutal,
We just don't give them a pass. I mean, just because they come on and they say, oh, how many times have we had people sit in that chair and tell us, oh, well, I'm pro 2A. Well, what do you shoot? How many guns you own there, congressman?
Before we get into the whole mental health thing, I want to talk to the doc because there's legislation that we're paying for. But this Thursday was, today's Friday, this Wednesday was very interesting at the range because James Hetfield, the lead singer of Metallica for the past 37 years, stopped in the range to shoot with his personal assistant. And he came in, and I recognized him right away.
He needs a personal assistant to shoot?
Yeah, no, but that's his. Oh. That guy tells him when to pee, where to go, what to do. He doesn't know. He just writes songs and plays. And his assistant, Ray, was really a cool guy. But Ray Googled New York City gun ranges and stuff, and he saw a few choices, and they saw reviews and everything, so they grabbed a car service, and they came out here. So he shot a bunch of guns. He's a big gun guy. He has a ranch in Colorado. He has a ton of rifles, ARs, and everything. He was telling us his kids aren't into it, but you know, he's been into it since he was a kid. He has songs like Don't Tread on Me and everything, and so afterwards, he came into VIP and he hung out with a bunch of us, and we had a great BS session. Mm-hmm. It, you know, really, really was cool. And I posted a picture online. I was like, "Oh my god, I didn't realize how how popular Metallica was with the Gun for Hire followers." Yeah. But good thing I posted it after he left, because all of a sudden we had random drive-bys.
Oh, really?
People were just stopping in. Is he still here?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And, but he was a really cool, down-to-earth guy. Again, he's an original member for 37 years now. And he wants to come back. And he's like, I'll be back. He goes, I'm going to come back with the whole band. They all have families, and they're secure now. They tour for 2 weeks, then they go home for 2 weeks.
That's
but they
nice.
Pay yeah. all their roadies and everybody for the year. You
yeah.
know, but these guys get to go home for 2 weeks. So, like, they'll fly to Brussels in Europe for 2 weeks and then go back home for 2 weeks. So I think that's really cool. But we had some great conversations. But the best part about it was this guy's been all over the world, and he could not stop talking about this place and the staff and the cleanliness and just the guns on the wall for rent and everything. And it was so nice to hear that from somebody who's literally been around the world.
Right,
you know, touring
and who comes
37
from a
years.
Free state and is, you know, could shoot basically anywhere he wants.
He used to live in California,
oh my
and there's
God.
An article online. He left Cali because of the infringement of his 2A rights.
Really?
And he moved to Colorado
wow.
to go to a free state because he could afford to do it,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
But you would, on the street, you'd walk right past him. You wouldn't know he was unless you recognize the tattoos and he likes to throw the Maloik, you know? But that's, that's his signature. And, we just had a great time with him here. And, you know, we get a lot of people here that are famous in their own world. And we try to keep it on a down low because they want to feel comfortable. They want to have a good time. So we let him shoot with his guy, you know, nondescript. But then we all hung out with him in the VIP for about 2.5 hours.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was really good. So James Hetfield from Metallica was here, bitches.
Our tech guy Scott's a huge Metallica fan. He wasn't here?
He was here.
I want to tell you about my friend Katie. Katie is a nurse, and she was attacked on her way home from work. She was totally taken by surprise, and although Katie is only 5 feet tall and 106 pounds, she was easily able to drop her 6'4", 250-pound attacker to his knees and get away unharmed. Katie wasn't just lucky that day. She was prepared. In her pocketbook, a harmless-looking lipstick, which really contained a powerful man-stopping aerosol propellant. It's not like it was in our grandmother's day. Today, just going to and from work or to the mall can have tragic consequences. The FBI says a violent crime is committed every 15 seconds in the United States, and a forcible rape happens every 5 minutes. And chances are, when something happens, no one will be around to help. It looks just like a lipstick, so no one will suspect a thing. Which is important since experts say getting the jump on your attacker is all about the element of surprise. Inside this innocent-looking lipstick is the same powerful stuff used by police and the military to disarm even the most powerful armed aggressor. In fact, National Park Rangers use the very same formula that's inside this little lipstick to stop 2,000-pound vicious grizzly bears dead in their tracks. It's like carrying a personal bodyguard with you, in your purse or your pocket. Darkness brings danger. Muggers and rapists use darkness to their advantage. We all know what it's like to be walking at night and hear footsteps coming at us from behind. Who's there? If it's somebody bad, will you be protected? Your life may depend on it. My friend Katie's close call needs to be a wake-up call for all of us, myself included. Pick up a lipstick bodyguard and keep it with you always.
The world's becoming a dangerous place for us women. Lipstick Bodyguard looks just like an innocent little lipstick, but it'll instantly drop any attacker to his knees so you can get away unharmed.
And what better way to say I love you than giving the ones you love a gift to keep them safe? Lipstick Bodyguard. It looks just like a beautiful little lipstick. But just like a beautiful woman, it has the power to bring a grown man to his knees.
Lipstick Bodyguard, fear no evil. Get yours today, only at lipstickbodyguard.com.
Just follow the link on the gunforhireradio.com homepage.
No rules, no apologies, no holding back. Gun for Hire Radio, the most listened to Second Amendment broadcast in the nation. 4 years running.
And this segment is brought to you by County Line Firearms. CountyLineFirearmsNJ.com. Check out Carlos. He's on Route 10 East across the street from the Best Buy in East Hanover. Shares a building with a check cashing facility. Sherry Spivak works there a few days a week from the Saw Group. So support those who support us. County Line Firearms NJ. So, Doc, this is why we need people like you in the state of New Jersey. And I'm going to let you talk right after I read this. Thursday, there was a hearing. I'm waiting for Scott Bach to get back to me to report on this. But on Thursday, May 18th, the New Jersey Senate Higher Education Committee.
Uh-huh.
All right, guys, listen up, guys and girls. Higher Education Committee,
important.
Not the Law and Public Safety Committee, is scheduled to consider S-2830, legislation that would create a taxpayer-funded firearm violence research center to research the causes, prevention, and reduction of firearms-related violence. This legislation is sponsored by Senator Fred One Gun a Month Madden. We have One Gun a Month because of him. Is a transparent attempt to create an anti-gun think tank cloaked in the legitimacy of academia. Anti-gun billionaires already spend millions on research by private anti-gun foundations. The legislation also co-opts several state agencies to be at the beck and call. Listen to this. They're including the Motor Vehicle Commission, mm-hmm. Department of Health, the State Police, the Department of Law and Public Safety. This is supposed to be a Department of Law and Public Safety thing. In the era of terror attacks on U.S. soil, lawmakers should be studying ways to empower citizens to protect and defend themselves in times of emergency, not wasting resources on thinly veiled efforts to legitimize more gun control that criminals ignore and affects only law-abiding citizens.
That's Scott Bach
that wrote that. Yeah. So what do you think about this, Doc?
So let me tell you about academia. All right, so I'm a clinician. I have my own practice. We have a group practice at this point. That's how I identify myself. However, I've taught over 40 classes at the undergraduate, graduate, and postdoctoral level. I've worked in multiple academic settings. I've started in academia in terms of my own education 17 years ago, and I've never left in terms of my association. So I could speak very well about academia and research because I publish a ton. So I know these worlds intimately, and here's what I can tell you. They don't understand firearms. They don't understand firearms. When we look at the research that's out there on firearm-related violence, suicide, and so forth, basically what's happening by and large is somebody sitting in an office in one of these policy centers.
That's right.
They're pulling a publicly available database from this website. They're pulling one from that website. And they're running some correlation analyses and see what's quote-unquote associated. That's not prospective firearm research.
Association is not causation.
And look, here's what I've been trying to do. I've been trying to come up with surveys and different research designs to actually speak to firearm owners. I mean, I know it's an amazing concept.
Wow.
But I've been saying to my colleagues in the field, look, we do research on the most obscure groups. You should see the research we do on people, hearing impaired serial killers. You know, we have everything you can think of.
That's true.
Yeah, there's 100 million gun owners and we don't have a study on it.
Right.
That's called choice.
Right.
That's not called availability or possibility. It's called choice. As I said, I've been connected in one shape or form to academia for the last 17 years. I've published on a variety of topics. We already got our first book out on ethics. We do stuff on competency. You know, we've done a ton of research over the last almost two decades by this point. I've been involved in research. Never had a problem. If you look at my resume, it's online. Look at my funding. I got awards and grants consistently for over a decade. I started doing the firearm stuff.
All disappeared.
I can't get anything.
Well, it's amazing how that works.
I can't get academic affiliates to join me. I have people.
You're not speaking the right narrative.
Welcome to my world.
Yeah.
Oh, I have people pulling off of papers.
Of course. They don't want to be associated with you. You got dirt on you, my friend.
I say, you want to do this study with me? Oh, yeah, we do this paper. It goes out for publication. It's about to get accepted. People are pulling off.
You're pulling her name off the paper.
And I'm saying,
that's,
you know, what's happening here. Yeah. And so the way that I'm addressing in my field, because you guys know this, I'm not an advocate one way or another. I truly see myself as a social scientist, as a psychological scientist, and as a clinician. Here's how I'm handling it. I'm running continuing education courses.
You're evil.
For psychologists, mm-hmm. psychiatrists, social workers. Over the next 6 months, I have three lined up. I'm going to be running them for my colleagues. And in terms of my academic colleagues, here's what I say to you. The ethics code is clear. You shouldn't be doing research on populations that you don't have familiarity with. It would never fly in any other area.
Also, they're cherry-picking their research, too, because you know it as well as I do. It's all about the data set. When all you do is reach out to organizations that you quote, and I'm using air quotes here, that you trust, meaning people from the Joyce Foundation, from other academia, it's bottom feeding, it's inbred research.
Yep.
So the conclusion is already a foregone conclusion. It is just now up to us as a research team to prove the conclusion. If we prove it, we continue to get funded. If we don't disprove it or upset the apple cart, all of a sudden our funding is revoked.
Right. And so I have an open invitation to all my colleagues, which is I will join any colleague. I don't care how personally liberal you are or whatever. I'm a scientist. But here's the deal going into it, which every scientist should agree to.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to come up with hypotheses that we're going to actually test, and we're going to look at the data objectively. And regardless of what comes out of it, we're going to publish it.
Right.
And if we can agree with that, let's do it.
Right. Where are you going to get that today? That's one of the big problems. You know, like you, I'm a scientist. One of the hardest parts about being a scientist, the reason I left science and went into business was for this very reason, because you can only take it for so long. When you have to constantly compromise your professional ethics and integrity in order to continue to be funded or to prove conclusions from a higher power that's giving you money, that's not science. Science has gone into the toilet.
It's politics.
Yes. And that's one of the problems that we have today, is that science-based politics-based science.
Welcome to our world, Doc.
Yeah.
I'm leaving. You're too late. You're in deep now. Yeah. Now you can't leave.
Now you're really associated with us on record. That's what it is.
For many people walking into a range the first time, it's quite intimidating. So when you walk in through the double doors, the first thing you'll see on your left is a concierge. When people walk in, they can take a tour of the range, or maybe they're coming in for an appointment with one of my instructors or me, and they'll be directed to the right classroom. It kind of softens the entire experience. It makes people feel more at home. As you walk further into the range, you're going to notice we have New Jersey's only indoor 50-yard range, which is heated and air-conditioned. The dividers at each port are bulletproof. They're extra wide ports so two people can stand side by side and shoot. There's lights in the ports, so you're well lit. We also have three times as much light down range that the average range would have, because I believe it's important that the targets are well lit. Our target retrieval system is all digital. You program how many feet you want to send it out, and it stays there. Both of our ranges are tactically baffled, which means when we run our higher level courses, you can move forward to the firing line and shoot in any direction, and bullets can't escape. When you come out of the 50-yard range, to your left, you'll see our large classroom, and go back up to the concierge and make a right, we have two smaller classrooms. And those classrooms are for small one-on-one classes, our Build-A-Bear, building an AR. As you enter through there, you'll see that we have a portal with a key to go into our Platinum Lounge. They can sit around and watch TV on the leather chairs or couches, and they can maybe work deals with their clients. And you normally don't see a cafe in an indoor range. New Jersey, we have this archaic law where you're only supposed to go from your house to the range to the house, with no unnecessary deviations. I'm seeing a lot more families coming in now where they have multiple kids, and the wife will stay in the cafe with one or two kids, and they'll do a handoff. To me, it's very important that people are treated like family. So the bathrooms are very high-end. We used marble and corian and really nice tile and full-length dividers so that people are comfortable when they come in. When you exit the bathroom, you'll see the Gun for Hire radio studio where Sandy and I tape our show. After you pass that and you make a left, you'll notice our retail area. Over 120 firearms for rent. As you turn 180 degrees, you see the large sections of bulletproof glass. That's our 25-yard range. And inside our 25-yard range, we have 13 ports. Those ports are even wider than the 50-yard range. Both ranges have full-time range safety officers. In case you have any questions or concerns, they're there to help you.
Broadcasting truth from behind the Second Amendment Iron Curtain. You're listening to Gun for Hire Radio, the most listened to Second Amendment broadcast in the nation.
And this segment is brought to you by Liberty Office Suites, LibertyOfficeSuites.com, Liberty Office Suites on Facebook, 70-person meeting room. He has over 70 furnished private offices in two locations, one in Parsippany, one in Montville. For as little as $58 a month, you can have a professional environment. Doc, you have two professional offices, right?
Yes.
You're not working out of your basement?
No.
You don't see patients. You don't see patients in your car? You don't see patients in your car?
No. Not anymore.
So now if the doc was just starting out, Liberty
Office
Suites.
It's mom's car. She let me use it.
But if you were just starting out, Liberty Office Suites would be something you could use.
You could park your mom's car in the parking lot, and they wouldn't charge you very much. You probably get a cut rate, like $25 a month or something.
So I want the doc to follow up, and then I want to talk about what happens to me on Twitter. Go ahead, doc. Follow up.
I'll be brief.
No. You're here the whole show, baby, because you're ostracized in the rest of the world. Yeah. So you might as well hang here with us misfits and deplorables.
I got to get the car back in 15 minutes. I don't.
Mom's got to go to an AA meeting. We got
So we just published an article. I think you guys will like this, on cultural competence in firearm subcultures. And so
that sounds like it to put me to sleep. That'll cure insomnia.
No, I think you're going to like it. Here's why. For the last, like I said, 15, 17 years, whatever it's been, I've appropriately learned about many different subcultures. I mean, as a doctor, you have to work with all different types of groups. You don't know who's going to come into your office, you know, and so you really try to learn.
As evidenced by this group.
Exactly. You don't know who's going to walk into your car. You know, you really learn about different ethnicities, different, you know, people of sexual persuasion, you know, whatever the case may be. You're a doctor, you know, you have to kind of treat a lot of different groups. And so I learned all this important stuff. And as I started working in this area, I said, like we were talking about, my colleagues don't understand firearm subcultures. So we put this paper together basically saying, like, look, one in three Americans are part of this, plus more, by the way, because you have police officers, right, military. Right. You know, truth be told, if you really look at it, it's probably every other person who walks into your office is going to have some sort of connection to a firearm, okay,
right,
one way
right
or another. And so whether you're a clinician or you're an academic or whatever, you have to understand you have to have this cultural competency, as we call it. And so one of the struggles I've had is I'm putting all this effort into writing a book. By the way, I'm not an academic, like I said. So I don't go on a sabbatical in Venice and, right, you know, write a book as, you know, on a gondola.
Right.
I mean, you know, when I write my book, in between my morning run and fighting with my wife, I write three pages,
yeah,
you
right
know, or something. So that's how people say, when's your book going to get written? I don't know.
I don't know.
I
mean, it depends on how aggravated I get to.
Yeah, you do babysitting? You know, but anyway, the point is this. I am gearing my work towards, again, educating, you know, people in my field who really need to understand these issues related to cultural competence. So I think, again, you guys will appreciate the fact that I'm trying to bring everything I've learned from you guys, from this place, from this excellent, you know, courses here, and the people that I've met at these conferences, you know, SafeCon, and again, people I've met at this range and the courses I've taught here. I'm bringing that to my colleagues. When we talk about bridging the gap between research and practice, it's not some third party, you know, alien entity has to do it. We have to do it as professionals. And so that's something that, you know, I've been working on.
You know, you might want to in your research, you might want to hook up with, we should hook you up with Dr. John from San Antonio. He's
Eden.
He's on the board of Doctors for Responsible Gun Ownership. So it'd be a different perspective entirely, because the AMA is so, well, they're so in the bed with the anti-gun groups that many of the doctors who are there don't belong to the AMA anymore. American College of Physicians do the same thing.
Right.
So this will be a perspective from a true subculture, a subculture of a subculture.
Absolutely.
John, it's gperelli.com, gperelli.com. John listens to the show every week. I ran into him in NRA. He's a great, really great guy.
Yeah, John, reach out to Gianni.
You know, here's what I find funny, too, Doc, because you're saying you're meeting this resistance. So I have Gun for Hire has a Twitter feed, GUN4HYR. So I'll see, like, illegal aliens crossing the borders are down 70%, right? So I'll post, this is great news, you know, that we're, in, you know, tightening up the border. All of a sudden, I get hit, because I'll do it, like, on a CNN post, because I'm a troublemaker, right? Because I like to poke the bear in the eye. All of these lefties, you methane-smoking, bearded, effing hippie, what do you, like, I didn't attack anybody personal or any personal views. I'm stating my opinion on what I think, right, that I feel, and you get a slew of personal attacks below. So I write back, typical crazy loony lefties, I make a statement and you attack me personally. That's right, we'll attack you personally because you're a hillbilly and you're the, look at your name, Gun for Hire, you redneck bastard. It just goes on and on and on. And not one person. So I say, will someone please post an educated response as to why we should have illegal aliens crossing our border. And again, 20 more personal attacks.
They're calling you a redneck bastard?
Yeah.
A guy who thinks that Western New Jersey is flyover country?
Mm.
Huh.
But it's the typical mindset. What is the problem?
Yeah.
Well, 8 years of Obama, I did not attack one liberal
person.
You
got to understand, we are the inclusive group unless you disagree with us.
It's horrible.
Social media is a rough place, and again, I do some work.
Why
in that
is
area
that?
Too.
Well, why do people
I like to make trouble,
believe
though,
that the anonymity is it? All of a sudden, anonymity creates balls.
Look, I'll put it to you this way.
Yeah, it does.
We're talking about research and science. If I put a paper together just on something random, like false confessions or just whatever, if I start doing my research today, you know this, it'll take me 2 years before it hits press.
If it hits press, okay? Yeah, that's right.
I have to go through an institutional review board. I have to get funding. I have to go through a peer review. That's what we call science. My same colleagues who put me through that process for the last two decades are now, boom, in 2 seconds, putting Facebook posts about guns. And I'm saying, and I'm back channeling them because I don't do it. I don't do these things publicly. I'm emailing them because I have a professional responsibility to bring it to their attention. I say, listen, Professor So-and-so, I just want to point out to you, you don't know anything about firearms.
Yeah.
And you're presenting this as you're a doctor.
Yeah.
But this is your personal opinion. And so I actually recently wrote something for my state organization which said, look, you can have your personal opinions and you can have your professional opinions. Can you just be clear which is which?
Which is which, right.
Yeah. No way.
This is what's happening. They're mixing it.
Right.
And because I got three letters after my name, all of a sudden I'm authority on everything.
Right.
Meanwhile, I go to put in I want to go do a study on, undergraduates' opinions about coffee mugs, and it's going to take me 6 months to get approval.
Right, exactly.
Social media is very dangerous in that way, and so it's an accountability issue for me, which is I'm not the, psychology police here, but, I do research on ethics and standards of practice, and I believe in that. And look, the same people who taught me this stuff for the last 20 years, I'm bringing it back to them. And I'm saying, look, you taught me this. All I'm saying is, yeah, I got my cultural competence. I got my ethics. You helped me gain that. Now it's your turn.
And academia doesn't punish this. Wasn't it this week where it was a Yale professor? I think it was a professor on. She was a professor in ethics. Oh no, social psychology, where her social posts were something like, I don't know whether she's Chinese or Japanese, and she visited an ethnic restaurant, and it
Yale,
was like
yeah. this Yale is a, professor, white yeah. trash.
Yeah, yeah. If you're white trash,
white
you
trash.
Might be okay
she
for
had
you.
She had like a 30 posts like that.
Right.
Lowlifes, blue collar she made fun of, and everybody. Go ahead. But she's not a minority because she's Asian.
And what's going to happen to her is nothing. you know, Yale is going to maybe put her on a temporary suspension and then bring her back.
They say she's on leave right now, but she's probably getting paid. You know,
of course. Yes, absolutely.
So that, you know, I'm sorry. So this is what I'm thinking. You know, I'm using the word accountability a lot. You got to remember, I'm a forensic psychologist. So it's funny. I get calls all the time. You know, they'll say, oh, I heard you. I want to get an evaluation by you. I'm running into some issues. I go through the process with them. I give them the price. They go, oh, my God, what are you talking about? I said, listen, I'm not going to write you a one-page letter for $200.
Right.
You can get that somewhere else. But it goes back to the accountability issue. Well, you need somebody who's going to go into a courtroom. This isn't Facebook.
Right.
This is a judge and a prosecutor who's going to be breathing down my neck saying, where's the research? Where's the accountability? You know, and so forth. And again, as someone who's a forensic psychologist, I have to deal with legal admissibility issues, you know, and so forth. I can't just go on Facebook's easy. Right. I can go on Facebook right now
and state your
and
opinion.
Say whatever I want.
Right.
Do you think I ever did that? I never did it once because as a professional, which is the reason I use Facebook. I mean, you guys can do it obviously for personal reasons, but I'm just saying the way that I present myself to this world, we all have a different role.
Right.
I'm a professional. And I want you to understand when you hire me, that's you're getting credibility. You know, you're not getting a personal opinion.
Right.
I say it all the time. I've told you guys this. If I was paid for my personal opinions, I'd be broke.
Right.
You don't call a guy like me for personal opinions. Right. And that's you got to watch out for. You know, a lot of people go doctor shopping and they just kind of compare money. They're comparing apples and oranges.
Right. There's no, you know, it's like other than my father-in-law who actually did this, you don't shop for a surgeon in Valpak,
but no
he did. No, I
no
swear
way.
To Christ. No, really, no, he did, and he had a herniorrhaphy done by and it turned out appropriately. So then I had to get him a really good surgeon to fix what Dr. Valpak did, and it was no. This is my father-in-law. He's got his communion money somewhere in envelopes, still in the attic in the original cards, guaranteed. Sorry, Pop.
With the
everything I do gonna be funky from now on.
Time and memories. The two most precious things you can give someone. No cell phones, no video games, no electronic devices. No interruptions. Just your favorite gun, a couple boxes of ammo, and time spent together. The folks at Gun for Hire Woodland Park Range believe there's no time like the present, and no present like time. Step through their doors, and you'll feel time stand still. It may look like a luxury shooting range, but what they really sell is the perfect day, and perfect memories are made from perfect days. Gun for Hire Woodland Park Range, where family memories begin.
And this segment is brought to you by GunSitters, gunsitters.com, 831 New Jersey 10 East in Whippany. Under the original Pancake House and my eye doctor in the Pine Plaza.
This is
guys,
a good place, Doc.
And girls.
If your guns are lonely, these people sit with them.
Yes.
Yeah, it's
well,
great.
You know what? If you need Dr. Pirelli's services sometimes, your guns might be in Gun Sitters.
Or
okay?
They should be in
All right,
gun
if you're
sitters,
feeling the domestics coming along, if you have someone in the house that has a drug problem or something, put your guns in Gun Sitters. If you're moving or selling your home, put your guns in Gun Sitters. If you're going on extended vacation, do the same thing. They also have a military division called Weapons Guard. They opened another office up in Easton, PA, and they're franchising across the country. The way Weapons Guard works, Doc, is if you're active military stationed in New Jersey and you get a transfer to, let's say, California for 2 years, your guns might be illegal in California. They will hold them for free. Mm-hmm. So you can come home on leave and shoot your guns. And then when your deployment or transfer is done, you can get your guns back. And that's funded through donations from gunsitters.com, which people, you're welcome to open up your wallets and purses and donate. But gunsitters.com, since they've been opened, have helped 100 people in my world here. And I've had so many people come to me and ask me about them, and then they were reluctant to do it. And I said, listen, because I share my story that I can't share yet. But and they do it, and then they come back weeks later and say, oh, my God, everything happened the way you said it was going to happen. And Gun Sitters saved the day. So gunsitters.com, it's very, very important. Remember, our Gun for Hire Twitter account is GUN4HYR. We are Talk Back.
The number four.
Number four. We are also Talk Back at gunforhireradio.com. September 23rd is SafeCon, and Dr. Pirelli spoke last year, and he's going to be speaking this year, and it's njsafecon.net, and Cam Edwards is going to be speaking again at,
oh,
this, at this one. He signed on already. He had a great time last year, power failure and all. But we have an all-star lineup of people speaking. The doc's going to tell us what he's doing while he's down there now, and you'll get to meet and greet with him. But you better check out Pirelli's site, gpirelli.com. I get people call me up, and they have situations, and they ask me if I know anybody, and I send them to Dr. Pirelli. There's another doctor that's all the way down South Jersey near the Delaware border that I've been dealing with for many years, but he's not as active as Dr. Pirelli. And please do not think by me saying that and endorsing Dr. Pirelli that if you beat your girlfriend up 2 years ago and got arrested for it and that your guns were taken away and that I could refer you to Dr. Pirelli and he's going to write a report card for you, that's not going to happen. It's what happens between you and him is behind closed doors, but Doc is going to talk about other situations he deals with, but John, getting full circle, John Willett's looking for more sponsors, more donors. Dr. Renucci responded. He got my email. He heard me plug him about SafeCon. He's going to be an advertiser on SafeCon.
So excellent.
Anybody, Butcher Baker, Candlestick Maker, Roger Garrett from Purely Water and his son Chris, they displayed that day. They caught a few customers off of it. So keep it in the house and support those who support us. So, Doc, talk a little bit about SafeCon and then what your services are for people so that they understand what you can help and what you can't help with.
Absolutely.
I'm going to
– thank you. I deal with insomnia.
I can help that.
So with respect to SafeCon, this year I think I'm actually doing the continuing legal education the day before, I think. It hasn't been exactly finalized yet, but I think that's also open to everybody. I mean, of course, I think lawyers will get credits, obviously, for that if they do run these CLEs, but I'm sure they'll open it to anybody. I don't know. I think I might be doing that with Evan Knapp and, you know, as a split session. I'm not exactly sure. Maybe I shouldn't say these things. I don't know. I have no idea.
You can say
I wasn't given a confidentiality agreement or anything, so I kind of speak freely. So that's what we're doing at SafeCon. I'll be teaching kind of similar to the course that I teach here, actually. And in fact, I am teaching a course here at Gun for Hire on Sunday, July 23rd. We're going to do it right before church in the morning. So you get your
mental health and guns, and then you go
get the Eucharist.
Go see God, yes, sir.
So it's going to be a similar type of course. We run through statistics, you know, kind of mass shooters. You know, we talk about all different kind of pop culture type of issues, but then we really get into the more, I guess, serious issues regarding mental health evaluations, the types of things we're looking for. And a lot of times people are very interested in that because, you know, there are a lot of questions around it. You know, it's this fascinating area where, oh, we have a gun epidemic and we have all these gun laws, but nobody understands actually the gun laws and nobody understands the statistics. And, you know, so it's kind of this fascinating thing that we're dealing with. So I'm here to kind of try to clear up some of that and provide my perspective. So here on, like I said, Gun for Hire, July 23rd, we'll be doing a course. And if you can't make that, hopefully you can make that, but if you can't, I think it'll be very similar to what we're going to do at SafeCon. That's going to be geared a little bit more towards lawyers, but, you know, similar kind of overlap in terms of content.
His psychology class that he does here, it's July, what's it, Sunday or Saturday?
Sunday, July 23rd.
What time is it? It's in the morning?
It should be 9 to 1.
Yeah, I mean, check it out. It'd be a great class to come. It's going to be hot in the summer. We're air-conditioned. Come in, and he goes over a lot of stuff. So, Doc, I'm a gun guy, and, you know, there's problems happen, and I need your help. But what is it that you're going to help me with? What can you help with you know, what is your demographic in this situation?
Sure.
For what you do, please, so people know, because I the reason I embraced the doc so much when he stepped into the Gun for Hire fold a few years ago, he came in to actually take a class and learn, and then his wife, he came in with his wife to shoot a few times, so he's a Gun for Hire alumni and family member, but he's like, you know, he's like a unicorn when it comes to, you know, and so we kind of need him, and I am just so glad to have made his acquaintance, and I'm so glad to have shared his services with other people, but let people know what's going on here.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Being very nice to me today, Sandy.
I don't know if something's wrong. Yeah, I know. When you're nervous, I'm nervous.
Wait till the microphone's
going. No, I really appreciate it.
And you do realize, what's the old adage? You never let the patient get between you and the door? Well, unfortunately.
This could be my last moment.
This could, yeah.
I feel like I'm being made or something.
That's right.
But look, basically.
There's that ethnicity popping out again.
I used to do only evaluations. Well, I still only do evaluations. I'll talk about that in a minute. But we've also brought on multiple therapists now, because I was doing evaluations on my own for a number of years, and I said, you know, I want to expand my services. I want to be able to offer more, because not everyone needs an evaluation. Some people just need therapy. And so now we have a few other therapists on board. We're expanding day by day. We're trying to provide a practice who's sensitive to all these types of issues, because so you're not just kind of shooting in the dark, so to speak, where you're just randomly picking someone out of a phone book. You don't know, you know,
how receptive these
issues
are. Sure.
Yeah. Right. You know, and so instead of kind of rolling the dice, because now you're building a record, right? This is all a potentially discoverable record,
right?
You know, if something's going to go wrong. We are a trained, you know, group, again, kind of on legal issues and so forth. And so what I do in terms of my evaluations is I do evaluations for people who are applying, who might have a flag in their history, whether they have a mental health history or previous charges or what have you. I do comprehensive evaluations for them, for people who are going to apply, as well as people who lose their guns. And look, we offer a flat fee in these cases. I don't charge my normal hourly. It's not cheap. I'll say it right out on the air. It's not cheap, because I don't do a cheap eval.
Right.
You know, yeah. I put the time in. I'm comprehensive. In other words, you might come in, oh, well, I only have this question about I was depressed. Can you just address that? Yes, I can just address that, but I'm not only going to just address that. We're going to go through every prohibitor. And by the way, I want you to bring in positive things as well. We're going to do a complete evaluation. You don't want a one-page letter that focuses a spotlight
just
on that
issue.
One issue.
Yeah, right.
You're actually highlighting the problem.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, right, exactly.
Bring in I've had people bring in awards. I mean, I've literally had people, I think they pulled it off their wall. They come in with frames. They really are actually excited to say, wait, you know what? I'm not handcuffed by this one thing that happened
right.
to me.
Right.
I want to present to you as a doctor that I'm a full person with a full life. And yeah, maybe I went through this one thing at this one time. You have to remember, when you go see a doctor, they only get a snapshot.
Right.
And so
right.
if you go to them and say, hey, I want to give you $100 to only focus on this, they're going to do it. But I'm going to tell you, no, we don't want to
But they're
going to
focus
that.
On a one-page thing. Like you say, they're drawing attention to it, and now you look like the Unabomber.
You don't want to do that. Look. As Anthony said, there's people I absolutely say, I cannot help you.
Yeah.
You know, it gets uncomfortable sometimes.
Like when the guy walks in with the sickle, like that type of thing.
Yeah, I'm like, you know, I'm sorry. I can't help you. But I have to tell you that I would just kind of spitballing here, about 90% or more of the people who come in, I actually do wind up writing reports for. Now, there's a selection bias there, because most of the people have been vetted out who are really sick or, you know, dangerous, let's say. But the people who actually have kind of a typical issue.
You got one of those buttons with a trapdoor?
No, but the average cases I get, Sandy, are 10 years ago I was depressed. I had to see someone for a year. You know, my father died, or I had a work issue or whatever. You know, look, things happen.
Yeah, right.
Things happen.
Life changes. Circumstances change.
Get it. And so you need someone who is going to understand the full constellation of issues, and who also understands firearms, so that when you use certain buzzwords, they don't get scared.
Right.
Like, oh, my God, you know, Ruger. I saw that in a movie. I'm nervous. You know,
yeah.
I don't know. Whatever the case may be. And so actually the book that I'm finishing up should be out hopefully by the end of the year. The first chapter is called a primer. Again, back to other doctors, where I'm literally putting glossaries of terms and so forth. because I am make no assumptions. I make no assumptions. Right. I say, look, let's. What are we talking about? Are we talking about violence? Okay. What do you? What? How do you define that?
Right.
What does that mean? Are we? You know, I want people to explain things. I don't like labels. You know, you're not going to just walk in, get a diagnosis from me, walk out. It doesn't work that way. We offer therapy. We offer evaluations. We want to work with, you know, we want to work with you guys.
He says it's expensive. Go through the legal system like I did, and we'll talk about expenses.
Yeah, there's
we'll,
a...
We'll talk about that when we come back.
It's all relative. Well, we're not going to talk about that.
No, no, we can't.
Are you still fighting crime the old-fashioned way? Now cut crime in half the time with a fast, easy money-saving solution. Introducing the Shitbaggerator, this year's all-new crime deterrence marvel from the makers of Gun for Hire Radio. The Shitbaggerator's compact design makes it quicker and easier to use than jail cells, parole boards, lethal injections, or those costly, outdated electric chairs. Just park your Shitbaggerator in the town square, open the lid, and drop the shitbag in. It's that simple. There's no wrong way to use it. Back and forth, side to side, round and round, shit bags go in and come out as a mound. Super sharp stainless steel blades that never need sharpening do all the work. Slice shit bags so thin, they only have one side. Built strong to last, they slice through even the toughest shit bags. Murderers, rapists, child molesters, no problem. Just set it to high, and the Shitbaggerator's powerful patented motor will handle them three at a time. No muss, no fuss, no bogging down. Just pop the top, drop them in, and watch as the powerful counter-rotating blades pull any size shitbag through at 2 feet per second. Amazing! Cleanup is a breeze. Just rinse with a fire hose or run it through the car wash. There's even a pulse setting for serial offenders. Save up the worst and delight the crowds on the 4th of July. Who needs fireworks when you've got the Shitbaggerator? And it's portable, so you can take it anywhere. But wait, there's more. For a limited time, we'll send you 4 additional sets of special stainless steel blades that never need sharpening. So now you can chop, slice, dice, and cube. The Shitbaggerator and 4 specialty blades, all for the same low, low price. Unbelievable. So don't wait. Call and get yours today.
The Shitbaggerator is available only at Gun for Hire Radio. Operators are standing by.
So, I get people come to me all the time and they say, I was a teenager. My girlfriend broke up with me. I told my mother I wanted to kill myself. She called an ambulance, went to the hospital. How do I fill out my paperwork now? I'm like, oh, man. I'm not a lawyer. A, I'm not a doctor. B, I'm not a doctor. So call Knappen. Call Dr. Pirelli. You know, you guys, I'm sure, you know, an evaluation and a letter. You know, the guy's 45. I don't know. I can't speak for Pirelli, but if the guy's 45 years old now, married with 3 kids with no criminal record, but at 16 years old, took an ambulance to a hospital because he said he was going to kill himself, there's probably redeemable situation. You know, again, I can't speak for them, but I get that all the time. So you need to understand that. But if you don't have that, and if you fill out something and that comes up in your record, now that you're denied, now when you go down to hire Evan Knappen or Dan Schmutter, you think Dr. Pirelli is expensive or my doctor in South Jersey is expensive. Bullshit.
Yeah.
Okay?
Right.
I tell everybody, do it right. Do it right.
Exactly.
Go see somebody, whether it's a lawyer first or the doctor first, and cross your T's and dot your I's, ladies and gentlemen. I can't stress that enough. I just want to, because we will end up running out of time, but by the way, remember last week I read Angelo's letter, the editorial? Somebody from New Jersey Gun Forums knows him and reached out to him.
Oh,
so
great.
He listened to the show, And he wrote, a fellow NJ forum poster notified me that you read my letter to the editor during your most recent podcast. Thanks for the complete read and kind words afterwards. You know, Angel, I should have just stole it and said I wrote it, but I was being nice. I'm happy to join you on your show if you think I have something to contribute. We're working on dates right now. I'm not a typical gun guy. Although I'm a 2A absolutist, I was pretty much anti-gun until I was 30 and did not have an FID card until 6 years ago. The point of my letter was that it makes no sense to make constitutional and quasi-religious arguments with people who believe in neither the Constitution nor in a God. These points also fail to resonate with the average New Jersey resident, but I believe they would think and perhaps vote differently if they knew how prevalent concealed carry was in other states. Regards, Angelo. Thank you, Angelo. We're working on dates. Yes, you have stuff to add. I felt it important to read your letter, and I like your perspective. And Sandy coined the term New Jersey closet gun owners, and you had an awakening after you reached your 30, so I definitely want you on the show. I think it would be great. Quick question. I have a question. This is from Andrew Ritter. I have a quick question for Knappen next time he is on. If you already have know the answer, is Ruger's new integrally suppressed barrel for the 10/22 takedown legal in New Jersey? Knappen, answer. No, it's a silencer under New Jersey law. Okay. Remember, Roger from Purely Water just walked by. Remember that
Roger from Purely Water just
one more
by.
From Jules, our perennial gadfly that comes in here.
Our perennial gadfly.
Aunt, I'm following your Mother's Day recommendation to introduce mothers to our Second Amendment family. I will be bringing at least two mothers from my workplace to the range Tuesday afternoon, May 30th. In addition, love the man on the street idea for SafeCon. If you do not have anyone in mind to be a questioner, I'd like to apply, Jules. Thank you so much, Jules.
Yeah.
You know, we really appreciate that. You know, you want to talk about getting in trouble. Couple of things. I'm not running for NRA board seat this year. Scott is up for re-election, and the clipboard is here. If you're a life member or you've been a member for 5 years continuous, you can sign the petition for Bach for NRA. His bio is bachbio.com, and the petition's here. He needs like 800 signatures. Everybody across the state is working on it. So please, if you can, stop down to the range. It's at the reception area and sign the petition for Scott Bach. The year after, I may or may not run. Pete Brownell, who's the president of the NRA, reached out to me. I'm being considered for two committee appointments, public affairs and education and training. So back on. I'm back in just when I thought I was out. So I told Pete Brownell, if you're looking for a guy who's going to tell you what you want to hear, then I'm not your guy. And he's like, no, I like that. So who knows? Maybe there's a chance for me yet.
Well, he says he likes
yes.
it.
Don't forget each one, reach one. If you're a member and you come down and you bring new shooters, they fill out the paperwork, they get a poker chip. When the grand opening of Mount Gunmore opens next door,
which
you
can now see from blocks around,
you can see it from the highways.
Yes, you can.
Okay, you can almost see it from 80.
Satellite.
Yes. Yeah. So when Mount Gunmore is open, when the grand opening, them poker chips, you're going to wish you had one. And we only made a limited number. So when we run out, we run out.
Will you be the biggest range in the country or just East Coast?
I'm probably going to be the largest commercial range in the United States, square footage wise and port wise. Yes.
Wow.
So we'll see when the final. I really haven't researched it much.
Yeah.
Star gun range in the United States. So that's always something to remember. But listen, it is so easy to get into a jam. It is so easy to need services like Dr. Pirelli. Have an argument with somebody. If your neighbor knows you have guns and he starts lawn mowing at 7:30 in the morning and you come out and tell him to shut it off, you probably are going to have to end up with Knappen and Pirelli afterwards, because that neighbor is a real jerk. All he's got to do is call the cops and say he threatened me and he has guns in the house.
Right.
Guess
that's
what?
It. That's all. That's
right?
it.
And
Done.
Once the bell is rung, you can't unring it.
You can't unring it.
Instead of saying unring it, you can't unring a ring bell. You're done.
That's right.
Okay? And that's what happened with me. We all know that. So it's hard to undo it. But we've all had problems. Maybe you got in trouble when you were a juvenile or whatever. And that's where you need a guy like this. Now, Doc, we read every day in the papers, like another guy from Lehigh Valley, Pennsylvania, had a loaded gun in his bag, okay, and he was trying to get on a plane in Newark Airport, and he got locked up because he has a carry permit, and he forgot about it. We get this all the time.
How do you forget about a gun in your bag?
I guess when you carry it all the time, Sandy, it becomes like your Swiss Army knife or your keychain or something.
Okay. Right.
And that's one of the reasons why we need national reciprocity. And it's funny because a lot of the states right now that the governors, the Democratic governors, are in uproar, like Virginia, that they're going to fight national reciprocity. Virginia accepts every other state's carry permit offers a non-resident carry permit, and their governor is so dumb that he doesn't realize that he's already doing it. And he's coming out against the federal law, H.R. 38, that's bouncing out right now. But
such
his state
imbecile.
Is better than H.R. 38, the way it's written.
Right.
Okay? They're idiots.
Yeah, let's just get Virginia's law. You guys in Virginia, just write to your governor and say, please, governor, just make national law like Virginia law, and we're good.
Well, the thing, you know, again, we all have different roles. And so, like I said, I'm really, my urgency is getting other people like me. Anthony, you said, there's very few people who
we
are going to
be able
to do
all in Mini Cooper,
evaluations.
Doc.
Yeah, we got to get it. We got to get it out there. We got to get people out there.
And what was your website?
www.gpirelli.com. So,
listen.
And this is 2017. You don't need the www.
I know.
You know we're.
I'm so used to it.
I know.
You know.
Just dated your ass. That's what. It's
you know. Listen to
for
me.
For the older folks.
For the older
the
folks.
The old shooters out
the
there.
The old shooters out there.
Listen, guys. We have
grandmas
South,
and grandpas.
We have South Jersey location again. Masada Ube is down in South Jersey. Urban Carbine 3 South Jersey. Urban Pistol 3 is South Jersey. We got a shoot house in South Jersey, but unfortunately, only our Sheepdog and Sheepdog Elite are going to be using the shoot house for the first two classes. Then we will open it up to our urban people. Ayub is here August 3rd to 6th at the South Jersey Shooting Club. You better get in on this. Use of Force, May 23rd. Quick Clot, June 3rd. Protective Pen, Saturday, June 10th. Take that class. Holster Draw, June 19th. CPR AED, June 24th. Civilian Response to an Active Shooter, June 29th. This other class this guy's teaching, Psychology and Firearms, Sunday, July 23rd in Woodland Park. Who would that be, Doc?
That's me.
Get your butt down here and sign up for that class, okay? I want to thank everybody for their undying support the past 6 years we've been doing this show, except Sandy. I'm out.
Nice. All right, well, it looks like
yours
you've wasted yet
another
perfectly good hour listening to Gunfire Hour Radio. Gunfire Hour Radio is a Kenneth Media production. The music used in this broadcast is managed by Cosmo Music, LLC, New York, New York, under license of Broadcast Music Incorporated. I'm Sandy Berardi. This here is Winston. Winston? He just said, we love you guys, and we will see you next week.